disruption. And if you've been enjoying our times in the book of John, we had a little bit of a break on Monday, and tonight is going to be another one of those evenings. Tomorrow we'll get back into the scriptures, but tonight I want to talk to you about disruption and what it could look like for you personally to be a part of a new and mighty move of God in America. Now, if you have been enjoying the messages, the five messages that come this week in the evenings are actually just a portion of the book, Do Something Beautiful, that's on sale, I think, through tomorrow. And so if you haven't had a chance, pick that book up. I want to tell you two reasons why you should buy this book. Number one, I think you're going to grow. But number two, I specifically wrote the book imagining people at Maranatha reading it on the beach. Literally, when I was writing the book, I literally was writing it for people sitting on the beach. And so you want to get your copy and you want to read it on the beach. I also wrote it for people who are both non-Christians who have never been churched, as well as for people who have been churched and yet are walking away. And many of you have children or grandchildren who are wayward in their faith, maybe not even considering the claims of Jesus. And so the book is written specifically for people to rediscover their faith or find it if they never had it in the first place. And tonight we're going to take a little bit of a detour because I want you to know there is a new and mighty move of God. And I believe that we are actually in the early days of a mighty revival. God is sending revival to America, and I want you to understand how you can play a part in that. When we think about disruption, the definition of disruption here is a radical change resulting from the introduction of a new force or variables. And we bring disruption to people, to women and men who are isolated in incarceration through relationships. We bring disruption to darkness when we bring light. We bring disruption when we share our faith through love, through acts of service. We disrupt all kinds of things all the time. Now, not all disruption is good, right? But tonight we're going to talk about what it could actually look like for us to participate in a disruptive move of God. Now, there are lots of disruptive forces, and I've kind of devoted my life to being a part of the disruption of the kingdom of God. And so when I first became a Christian, I devoted myself to the disruption that the gospel brings. And I made a commitment that I was going to share the good news of the gospel with anybody within my proximity. If I had the ability to do so, I was going to share the good news. And I've talked a little bit about that. And over the course of my career, it's been my privilege and honor to introduce about 16 or 17,000 people across the nation to a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of the gospel. And as long as there's air in my lungs, I plan to preach the good news until the end. And so there is power in the gospel. We've also talked about the power of the proclaimed word. This is a picture I've had the opportunity of sharing the good news at a conference called Urbana, the world's largest missions conference. And even in a missions conference, giving the gospel, giving a call to faith, over 800 people this night when I called for a decision gave their lives to Christ. So the gospel is real. The gospel is transformative. It is powerful. And I'm not giving up on that, but there came a point in my career in 2000 where I sat in this auditorium just as a regular observer, not a person on the platform, and I listened to a man with a funny buzz cut talk about a problem that was much, much bigger than I had ever conceived of. And as I listened to the founder of the International Justice Mission, Gary Haugen, talk about little boys and girls locked away in brothels, suffering as modern-day slaves, I made a decision that really changed the trajectory of my life and the trajectory of my career. And I came back from Urbana 2000 with a determination that if the things that Gary Haugen was saying about modern-day slavery were true, everything in my life was going to change. My giving habits, my preaching, my ministry were going to change. And as I began to investigate, I discovered that only half of what he was saying, it was way worse than what he had shared with us at Urbana. And so from 2000 to 2015, I devoted myself to proclaiming the gospel and fighting against the wickedness that we call modern-day slavery and bringing those two realities together. And the results were pretty incredible. We did these anti-trafficking campaigns that I've talked a little bit about this week all across the country. We saw over 6,000 students pray to receive Jesus from coast to coast. And I already confessed as a Wolverine that we even did one at Ohio State University because Buckeyes need Jesus too, more than Wolverines. But nevertheless, the good news is good news in Columbus, Ohio, and in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And this is actually a picture in the Michigan Theater right there on State Street. If you know the theater, we packed it out. and we preached Christ, but we also partnered with the State Attorney General's Office to celebrate Teresa Flores, a trafficking survivor who was trafficked out of Southfield, Michigan as a sex slave. And now we have the Teresa Flores Act in the state of Michigan, thanks to Bill Schuette's office. And we helped pass that and celebrate that at the Price of Life. And so these Price of Life campaigns that we did for 15 years were just explosive. The results were incredible. In fact, a couple of things. Here's a picture at Ohio State University. We had 1,000 people out of the 35 events that we did in that 1 week. We had 1,000 people walk the Underground Railroad that snakes through Ohio State University. And we did that as a symbolic demonstration that slavery still exists and that we can do something about it. And over the course of these campaigns for these 15 years, we saw the incredible. We saw incredible things happen. We helped change state and federal law. We empowered and partnered with the U.S. House and many state attorney general's offices across the country to pass better laws. We helped create networks and coalitions. We increased bed capacity for many nonprofits and local markets. We got foundations involved. In fact, we even saw a foundation start as a result of the Price of Life campaign. For-profit businesses, nonprofit businesses, we launched the careers of dozens and dozens of young people to start new nonprofits to care for the marginalized and oppressed. And it was just a fantastic ride. But something happened in 2015 in my soul that I want you to know about here tonight. In fact, I've talked a lot this week about hearing the voice of God, hearing from the Holy Spirit. And so I've written another book, Growing Your Faith by Giving It Away. This is the night of commercials, by the way. And that's on sale as well in the bookstore. And it's secretly a book about how you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've made it look like it's a book about evangelism. But it's really a book about how you can actually hear the voice of God and how you can follow the Holy Spirit as you share your faith with those around you. And so that's on sale as well. And in 2015, I began to hear from the Holy Spirit again in a radical way that shaped me for what I consider to be the next trajectory of what I'm going to be investing myself in the kingdom of God. I had a sense that God was going to send revival to America. Now, it may or may not happen in my lifetime, but I'm going to give everything that I possibly can to the hope that God is going to sweep this nation with a mighty and new move of the Spirit of God and how we need it, how we need a touch from the Holy Spirit in our land. We don't need another political leader. We don't need policy change in Washington. We don't need another social program. We need the Holy Spirit to blow across this land to lead our nation to Christ, to revitalize our prisons, our hospitals, our school systems, our families, to revitalize the very institutions of our society. And I believe revival is on the way. Part of the way that we know that revival is on hand, if you study the old revivalists, Spurgeon and Finney and Edwards and all of these kinds of people, they'll tell you that revival is on the way when women and men begin to long for it, when they begin to pray for it, when they begin to earnestly desire it. And what I'm seeing is an earnest desire for a revival in America. But there's something more that I want to talk to you a little bit about here. The story for me began before an event called Together 2016, I began to have this deep sense that God was sending revival, a deep burden in my heart that we needed revival. And so I began to wind down those Price of Life events. And some of those were very large. We spent $500,000 million on these Price of Life events. We had teams working across the country. And so as we began to wind these down, everybody was a little bit confused about why we should be ending these. But I had a deep sense that we needed to put our energy into something even bigger. And it all came to a head, became a little bit more crystal clear at this event called Together 2016. How many of you have heard of this event, Together 2016? We had 300,000 people on the Washington Mall in July of 2016. We worked for an entire year. It was a $7 million event. Many organizations came together to host this event on the Washington Mall. And the goal was to seek God for a mighty revival in America. And we were planning this from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. And as we got there, we not knowing if there was going to be 50,000 people or a million people, we were ecstatic to see over 300,000 people, mostly young people between the ages of 14 and 24, comprised the audience. And it was just a fantastic time with people like Robbie Zacharias and Josh McDowell and Francis Chan and Tim Tebow and Jesus Culture and all the Lecrae and all of the kind of great speakers and artists that you would associate with a high caliber event. They were all there, and everything seemed fine until the middle of the day. I was part of the planning team for this, and so no one was coming to Together 2016 to listen to York Who. Nobody knows me, right? They were coming for Francis Chan and all the rest of them. But Tim Tebow was coming off the podium. Francis Chan had just spoken. Robbie Zacharias was there. It was like kind of like the pantheon, the who's who of Christian. And here comes this nobody, but at least it's my turn, and I'm pretty excited. In front of me are 300,000 people, a sea of humanity. And I was literally the next guy walking up to the podium when the stage manager got a message in his ear telling them that the event was being canceled, that I wasn't going on, that I wasn't going to get my opportunity. And I was devastated. What had happened was about the middle of the day, we had saw over 400 people sent to all of the emergency rooms in the surrounding area for heat-related illnesses, heat stroke. It was one of those oppressive, one of my favorite days, 95 degrees with high humidity. Great day for me, not such a great day for Together 2016. And several agencies came together and they said it's just not safe for us to continue on. There was also a fear that there was a tornado warning about to be issued, which in fact did happen. And so we were instructed to disperse this throng of people that had come to pray for the day for revival. I was devastated. The other thing that was going on in my life is I had just been given a new title in adversity. I serve as national evangelist, but I'm also the executive director for Catalytic Partnerships, which sounds pretty exciting. The only problem is, right before I got on the plane to go to Together 2016, my boss says to me, "Now, York, don't get too excited about your new job. You see, we were in the midst of looking for InterVarsity's new president." And he says to me, "We don't know how she or he is going to want to lead. We don't know if they're going to want to be involved in partnerships. Don't go too far. Don't get too excited." So I had the keys to the car, but I couldn't drive it. And so I was depressed. I didn't get to speak. I didn't have much hope for the future. And I said, "You know what I need? I need to hear from the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to go on a prayer walk." So I got in the elevator. The door opened on the main floor. There's a guy sitting there right to the right of the elevator, and immediately the Holy Spirit drew me to him. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, you know, get 300,000 people in town." I said, "Why are you here at Together 2016? He said, "Well, I work for a ministry called Crew. We used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ." And I said, "I think I've heard of you." Now, one of the things that he didn't know is that when I became a Christian, I started a Crew chapter. I had actually just spoken at their national staff conference, all 6,000 staff. Obviously, I had a big impact on this guy because he didn't know who I was, right? And I didn't mention any of that. I just said, "Oh, what do you do for Crew?" And he says, "Well, I have a new job. I'm the new National Director for Strategic Partnerships." And I said, "You got to be kidding me. What are you doing with that job?" He said, "I have no idea. I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to lead me." And I laughed, and I told him exactly what I shared with you. And immediately, I got on a plane within 2 weeks, and I flew down to where Mickey Mouse lives and where all things joy happened, Crew headquarters in Orlando. How I love Orlando, Florida. And I went down there. It's not hard for me to get on a plane to go to Orlando, I'll tell you that. And I went down there right away, and I met with their executive vice president and their team, and I asked this simple question. And I want to challenge you with this question. No matter what your industry is, no matter what kind of church you come from, what kind of nonprofit, it's a powerful question that I think can shape the kingdom of God. What's the one thing that we can do together that we could never do by ourselves? Powerful question. And I just simply asked that question, and we sat in that question for 7 months, flying back and forth, having meetings over Zoom. And every time we'd get together, we'd study the Word, we'd pray, sometimes we'd fast, and we'd ask this question, what's the one thing that we can do that we could never do by ourselves? Now, I want to tell you, it's a great time in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. We've been doing what we've been doing for 80 years. We're in 172 countries, and in America, we've never seen so many students come to Christ in all of our 80 years. It's like a revival. Our employee base doubled in a matter of 7 years. We're planting more chapters on more campuses than ever before. We're involved in a new initiative called the 2030 Calling, a bold initiative to, even from where we're at right now, double our numbers in the next 12 years. It's a fantastic time in InterVarsity. We didn't need a partnership with Crew. We've never had one before. In all of our history, the two largest collegiate ministries have never gotten together. We've had agreements to play nice with one another, but we've never had a partnership. But I believe that God was calling us to something more, that God was calling us to revival. And as we sat in that question and prayed into that question and met across the country, at the end of 7 months, we were sure that we had heard from the Holy Spirit that He was sending revival and that what He was calling us to do is to seek Him for a revival. Now, we don't manufacture revival. We can't plan on it. We can't strategize it, right? We can't finance it. Revival is a gift from heaven. It's a disruptive force. And we'll talk a little bit about what revival looks like in just a minute. But we were sure that what we had heard from the Lord was that He was sending revival. And our part in that was to catalyze as many gospel movements and prayer as possible, not only in partnership with one another, but in partnership with others as well. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the disruptive force of revival and awakening. Now, nobody in this room has experienced revival. On a national level, America hasn't seen revival in generations and generations. And so in some ways, I'm talking to you tonight about a unicorn that you may have read about in some fantasy book. But I assure you, based on the reading of the scriptures, that revival is real. That there are these punctuated moments in time in human history where God works in a supernatural way for a season of time to bring kingdom breakthrough, and I believe that revival is coming to America. Wouldn't it be amazing in our lifetime to see a mighty move of God? To see people come to Christ all over the country? To see families made whole? For God to turn the hearts of fathers back towards their children? Wouldn't it be amazing to revitalize the college campuses and the hospitals and the legal system, the political system in our country? That's what revival and awakening are all about. It's not just about a bunch of people becoming Christians. Many people can become Christians, and yet a society cannot experience revival. Revival is something more, and I believe that God is sending revival. Here is just a snapshot of the very of a few of the 75 organizations that have already come on board with Every Campus just this year alone. And so what started as a prayer walk at an event where I was discouraged has now turned into a national movement. We have been having gatherings all across the country several times a year. In fact, we were just with Ravi Zacharias and his team at the headquarters, and we had people from all kinds of denominations and church networks and parachurch organizations come, dozens and dozens and dozens of them. And what they're saying to us is, "You're count us in. Count us in, and where can we send the check, and how can we celebrate this, and how can we wear your shirts and flag your flag?" Now, you know revival is coming when organizational leaders are willing to share resources. Not just financial resources, but they're willing to celebrate the flag or the banner or the name of the brand of their competitor. And that's what's happening in this Every Campus movement. So from 2016, we began to converse and dream and talk, and right from the beginning, we knew that God wasn't just calling Crew and InterVarsity to come together, He was calling the church to come together for a mighty revival in our time. And so we began to include others. We began to talk to our friends and Navigators and Chi Alpha and the CCO and Jews for Jesus and Ravi Zacharias, and across the country we were gathering these all throughout 2017. And time after time, you know what I would hear? I jump on a plane. In fact, I spent 8 weeks in a row flying across the country every single week, sometimes 2 and 3 flights a week to meet with people. I flew out to the Navigators, to their castle. Did you know they have a castle? I thought it was a metaphor all these years. There's a real castle called Glen Eyrie in Colorado. I get there and I say, "Oh, I could have stayed here instead of the crummy Hilton down the road. You should have told me." Sitting in Navigators headquarters, and their top person says to me, "You know, York, a few months ago, we wouldn't have even entertained this, but I was studying the Word of God, and I had a deep sense that God was calling us to seek Him for a revival, not even knowing about this, and now here you come." I get on another plane, and I fly to another organization. I'm meeting with their president or their executive vice president, and they say, "You know, York, it's amazing that you're saying this, because we had a time of prayer, and we distinctly heard that God was calling us to partner with other organizations for the first time in our history." I had a church, a whole denomination, one of the denominational leaders called me out of the blue And she said, York, I've heard about this thing called Every Campus, and we've just gotten back from L.A. We had this retreat, and the Holy Spirit broke out during a time of prayer, and we had a deep sense that he was sending revival. I heard Every Campus has something to do about revival. Could you tell me more? And that's how this coalition has been built. It hasn't been built by savvy branding, although we have that. It hasn't been built by digital platforms, although we have that. And I'll talk a little bit about that a little in just a few minutes. This coalition that you see here on the screen has been built by a move of the Holy Spirit. We get on these Zoom calls, and the crew guy is wearing the Navigator shirt, and the Chi Alpha woman is wearing the Jews for Jesus shirt, and the InterVarsity guys, and we're flying each other's brands, and we're telling each other stories, because you know what? We're different divisions in the family, in the Father's family business. And isn't the campus much bigger than any one of these organizations? You realize that the vast majority, over 60% of college campuses, have absolutely no gospel witness. You could add us all up together, the Baptist Campus Ministry from the Southern Baptists, Young Life, InterVarsity Crew, you could add them all up, and the vast majority of college campuses in America have no gospel witness. There are 4,948 campuses in America, and we're going after every single one of them, and we're going to invite you to be a part of that. And so Every Campus was really born out of a prayer walk, but now it's so much more. It's a movement, and so I want to talk to you about what we're doing in this movement and how you can be a part of it. First of all, a little bit about revival. And so again, I apologize for the size of the font here. I can't even read it, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you so you know what you're looking at here. But in InterVarsity, when we talk about revival, this is what we say. We say revival is a season of breakthrough in word, deed, and power that ushers in a new normal of kingdom fruitfulness. That's a lot of words. I prefer Martin Lloyd-Jones' simple definition of revival, where he says that revival is days of heaven upon the earth. Do you like that? Days of heaven upon the earth. What would it look like to live into days of heaven right here, right now? Instead of turning on the evening news and watching another mass shooting, instead of worrying about the Dow Jones dropping 800 points, what would it look like to live into days of heaven upon the earth? There's a verse in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. It says, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." One day, the whole thing will be under the reign and rule of Jesus Christ. Not just individuals. God is after it all. He wants the kingdoms. He wants the thrones, the principalities. He wants the ethnicities. He wants the industries. He wants it all. And one day, he will get them. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And that's what revival is all about. Days of heaven upon the earth. Now, that's something that we can't produce. We can't plan for a revival. We can't schedule it, throw out a big tent and we're having a revival next. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a mighty move of God, an irresistible force, an unstoppable force in our time, days of heaven upon the earth. It doesn't get any better than that definition. Why do I believe that there is revival at hand? There are three reasons, and if you study revival as long as I have, I've been studying revival since 1999. I give lectures on revival, and I've gone deep into revival. I've looked at revival in a Western context, on a global scale, and there are always a number of factors that are true, and here are three that we are experiencing in our time. First of all, prayer movements. I want to tell you that we have never experienced the coalescence of prayer movements like we're experiencing today. There are movements on top of movements, networks on top of networks that are coming together for a mighty push of prayer. Not just the National Day of Prayer, and they're one of our partners with Every Campus. Moms in Prayer, they're a part, Luke 18, they're a part of this. There are a number of networks that have come together, and they're saying, you know what? It's time for us to pray for a new move of God together. So all of these tribes that have been praying for revival for many generations are coming together. We're also seeing unprecedented unity in the church. When you have leaders who worry about deficits and fundraising and employees and their own brand and their own message, say, you know what? We're not even going to put our name on the thing. In fact, I challenge you even right now to pull out your mobile device and go to everycampus.com. You'd be hard-pressed to know who owns that. You're not going to see InterVarsity at the diamond level and Crew at the gold or platinum level. It's not about that. It's about coming together in an unprecedented way to demonstrate unity. We're paying each other's invoices. We're celebrating each other. But we're also seeing catalytic moments. And by that, I mean gatherings that are historic and epic. And you may be surprised about this because it doesn't show up on the evening news, no matter who you're watching. Just in the last school year, in several locations, over 250,000 collegiate students have gotten together for conferences, events, mostly for prayer around revival. Now, you have to go back to 1972. To find gatherings on that scale amongst college students. Something called the Jesus Expo. Anybody ever remember that? This year alone, we saw 3 or 4 Jesus Expo gatherings around this country. And you might not have even known about that, right? So we're seeing students gather in unprecedented numbers, and they're gathering for prayer. They're gathering for revival. And sure, the great artists are there and the speakers are there. But when you're in these environments, I was just at one called Together 2018 in Dallas, Texas. We had 90,000 people on the Motor Speedway in Texas. And I want to tell you, it was a move of the Holy Spirit. It was palpable. You would walk onto the stadium or onto the field, and you would just sense that God was there, that He was moving in a powerful way. And so we set up an every campus garage during this Together 2018, and we took about 2,000 of those people who had come, and we trained them to leave the venue to do prayer walks and prayer ministry and planting ministry in the high schools and colleges to where they were going. This is a movement of God that we haven't seen since the early 1970s, and it's happening right under our noses. And yet we think everything is lost. We look at the college campus and we say it's too dark, it's too full of liberalism, it's too full of this, that, and the other. But I want you to know that God is on His throne, that God is making Himself known, and that there's a powerful new move of God in America on our college campuses. And the good news is that you can be a part of it. Part of the way that we're asking you to partner with us is to go on a prayer walk. And so in 2017 into 2018, we're building our coalition. In 2018, we hired a data analytics company, and they have built a never-before-possible digital platform that sits behind this simple website that you can pull up on your mobile device whenever you'd like. And this year, we're setting aside 2019, and we started on January 1st of 2019. And our hope is to physically prayer walk every single one of the 4,948 campuses in America. And we've already done a couple thousand. And we're ready for a big push into the fall. The National Day of Prayer and prayer networks are behind this, and we're going to see a mighty move of God this fall as we sweep this nation with prayer. But we're not hoping that this will be done by the campus ministries. So don't sit there and say, oh, good job. Campus ministries, go ahead, go for it. We're behind you as you pray from your couch. Every campus is really about everybody else. It's not about the campus ministries. What we're saying to the church is, will you join us in this new move of God by first joining us in a year of consecration and prayer? This is a year of consecration and prayer, and I want to challenge you to do at least one prayer walk on an unreached campus near you. If you go to everycampus.com, you click Enable My Location, or you put in your zip code, wherever you're at, we're going to show you every single college campus in America that's near you, and whether or not it's been prayed for, whether or not you're the first. If you click I Want to Pray Here, we'll shoot you a prayer guide right on your phone, right on your mobile device. You'll get a prayer guide through the text message or email, whatever you'd like. If you want to do this on a computer, you can do that as well. And that prayer guide will then walk you through how to pray for revival on that campus. It's exciting. And we're seeing grandparents that are worried about their grandkids drive down the street and do a prayer walk. Instead of wringing their hands, wondering what's going to happen when their grandkids go to college, don't wring your hands. Join us in a prayer walk. I believe that prayer changes things. I believe that when we step into the spirit of prayer and unity, things can happen in the physical and the spiritual. And so this is a great year of prayer. We're seeing 28-year-olds pushing their strollers across the campus. They've already graduated, and maybe they're on their second or third kid. They're a stay-at-home mom, but they can push that stroller down the street to an unreached campus and pray for a revival. It doesn't matter how old you are or what walk of life you are. You can live in the Appalachian Mountains. We have people praying for college campuses in the Appalachian Mountains. Right here, if you enable your geolocations, I've already checked, there are several campuses around this area that are in need of prayer, and here are a few of them. And so, you can be a part of this, but this is much more than a prayer movement. In 2019, this is our hope, to prayer walk every campus in America, but we're just getting started, and so now we're saying we're going to catalyze gospel movements. We're going to plant new gospel movements. And I'm going to tell you right now, you could take all of the campus ministries together and we will never be able to get to all 4,900 campuses in America. We haven't been able to do it in 80 years. Guess what? We're not going to do it in the next 10. We're going to need the church to rise up. Independent Baptist churches, Lutheran churches, we'll even take the Presbyterians of all sorts and sizes. Right? It doesn't matter what your walk of life is, what your background is, we want to wake the church up and say, this is an opportunity to see something miraculous right before our eyes, to see a new move of God, and it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. Now, on the back end of this is a never-before-possible digital platform that sits on the backside of this website. This isn't available to the general public, and so you're a part of the few people who are seeing this outside of our ministry partners. But I want to explain what this does. Our ministry partners can now log on to this and see every campus, who's there, what the state of their ministry is, and actually receive leads, people who are interested in partnering with them in starting something new on campuses all across America. This has never been possible. And part of the way we're expressing our unity in these campus ministries is we're taking the data. Now, you know revival is coming when ministries are able to trust one another with their data. And we're porting our data into this massive database that's never before existed, and we're sharing it with all of those ministry partners and anybody who will say, yes, we want to be a part of this new move of God. And we're tracking. Every single week, we're tracking how many campuses have been prayed for. The good news is tonight, every single campus in America has someone who stood up and said, I will do it. Every single campus has already been adopted. Now, we still have about 2,700 because we're only going to count them when they've actually clicked the button, I've prayed here. So we're not going to count a campus as prayed for unless we know that it's been prayed for. We don't want one campus skipped, and so will you join us? Some of you are from far away. Maybe you're going to another location. Maybe you're going on vacation after the vacation with purpose. You know, you're going someplace after here, and along the way, you're going to pass many campuses. A lot of times I fly into a city I've never been before, a part of a city I've never been before, and I click enable my locations, and I see there's a campus right by my hotel. And I wander over there, and I do a prayer walk. You can do that on your way home. Would you do that on your way home? Would you pray for at least one campus on your drive home? Wouldn't take long. You'd probably spend more time at the McDonald's drive-thru. Could you stop and help pray for revival on your way home? And then when you get home, you have my permission to pray for as many campuses as you possibly can, just this one time only. But we're tracking this, and we're using our partnership with this data analytics company to do that. This is an important quote here, if I can get to it. It says this, "Let it be said of our generation that when a nation teetered on the edge of destruction," does anybody here believe, like me, that America is teetering on the edge of destruction? We're on the brink. Just last week, I was watching one of the news outlets, and they used the words civil war. That might sound extreme, but spend some time on Twitter, and you'll realize that we're at an impasse. We're teetering on destruction. Let it be said of our generation that when a nation teetered on the edge of destruction, having lost the ancient path of truth and righteousness, we answered the divine call to war for its restoration. For its restoration. How do we restore a nation? Through prayer. Through prayer. What we're hoping this fall is that as people plan to go to college, as are already on college campuses, that Christian students, where there are no gospel ministries, will be starting new gospel ministries. And so this is what it looks like on the back end of this. Not only can we see who's doing what where, people who are interested in joining a Christian fellowship will be able to see who's on that campus, and if they're not, can they start a campus ministry? And so we have coaching centers. We've created coaching centers to take anybody and everybody. You could be a 50-year-old Baptist elder like myself, and you can be trained to start a gospel ministry. You don't have to be some special person. We can coach you on how to start a campus ministry. But let's start with who's already doing it. And so every single collegiate ministry in America is a part of this that we know of, and we're onboarding new partners on a weekly basis. And so if we take this slide, for example, before we wind it down and talk a little bit about how we apply this to our lives, you can look, and every single campus will either tell you, yes, there's a campus ministry, no, there's a campus ministry, who's there, and if there's not, you'll see that red dot. And so what we're doing from 2020 forward is catalyzing new gospel movements on every college campus. You say, well, what does that have to do with revival? Now remember, revival isn't something we can manufacture. And so what I like to say is that we are instigating revival by catalyzing prayer and gospel movements all across this land. I don't think there's anything more than Christians could do to see revival in their time than to pray for it and to spread the good news of the gospel. And you can be a part of that. You can be a part of this new move of God. Again, we haven't seen anything even close to this. Even 1972 doesn't describe what we're experiencing on our college campuses here today. And so we've built this, and we're putting a lot of money into this. We've already gone well past seven figures in our investment between CRU and InterVarsity. And now other organizations are starting to pitch in. And so this is something that's not going away. We are just getting started. And we're serious about this. But you know what? Revival doesn't come because we built some super sweet website or some digital platform or just because we have the money and the know-how to do. No, revival is a gift from heaven. And so would you join us in praying for revival for our nation? Might very well start on the college campuses. Could start in the prisons. In fact, it probably already is starting in those prisons. But in the church visible outside of those walls, we're seeing revival. I was just with a bunch of businessmen in Nevada or someplace, I don't know, some conference, and these businessmen were talking about revival. Then I jump on the plane and I fly over here to this gathering of medical professionals. They're talking about revival. Revival isn't something that's just contained to the college campus, but I believe that God is saying to the church, wake up. I'm sending something new and you can be a part of it, right? So this is where I'm going to land the plane and then I'm going to pray, and Kirsten and the team are going to come up in just a second, but what's our strategy? And so we want to take the potential, the growth factor, the potential that's on every single one of these college campuses, and we want to fuel it. We want to fuel it by a partnership with every college campus ministry. We want to partner with denominations and networks, and we have dozens and dozens of church networks and denominations. Particularly church planters are very excited about every campus, as we can provide leads for them to start new churches in university towns, on campus, just off campus. But our strategy is here, and as every campus begins to build out, what you'll be given after 2019 are tangible resources on how to start new gospel ministries. This is something that you can share. Maybe you have a 16-year-old like I do who's thinking about where she's going to go to college next year. Wouldn't it be great if you could give her a vision for how to go to college as a missionary, rather than merely surviving the 4 years at the big bad university? Wouldn't it be awesome if she could show up already equipped, already connected, already having hope and vision for reaching her campus rather than just throwing her to the wolves? That's what every campus is about, and you can be a part of it. But again, this is about revival. It's about saying yes to what God wants to do. Do you believe God wants to give us the gift of revival? Is there any reason why he wouldn't want to give America the gift of revival? We can instigate that. We can join together and instigate that by praying and spreading the good news of the gospel and hoping and waiting that God will send a gift from heaven, days of heaven upon the earth. Kirsten and the team, why don't you come up as I close this in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the gifts that you give us, Lord God. We thank you for the everyday gifts of beauty and food and water and companionship. But tonight, we're coming before you to pray for a gift from heaven that's unique, something that we've only read about in the history books. Tonight, we're coming before you, Lord God, and praying that you would revive our nation, that you would send fire from heaven, a weeping from heaven, Lord God. Would you wake the church up, Lord God? Would you rouse us from our sleep, Lord God? Would you send a shaking upon this earth that would be so unmistakable that no one could mistake it for just another political cycle, another financial cycle? Lord, would you do something in our time that is so far beyond what we could do, what we could manufacture? Would you send the gift of revival? Blow across our land the power of the Holy Spirit. as we're sent out from here in just a day and a half, Lord, we pray that we would be sent out as flames of fire for revival across the land. We pray, Lord God, that in Jesus' name, amen.